Good evening, everybody. I am Councillor Steve Gazza, Chairman of Exmouth Town Council. This is a formal meeting of Exmouth Town Council, and we will follow the agenda which you all received, which has been published on the Council's website. The meeting is being recorded, and an audio recording will be uploaded to the Town Council's website in due course. We do have members of the press and public in attendance as observers, and I would like to extend a warm welcome to you all. Only those who have registered to speak in advance with the town clerk will be given the opportunity to speak during public participation, and you will not be permitted, unless you want to do so by the chairman, to speak at other times. Thank you. So we apologies for absence, please, Lisa.
So we've had apologies from Councillor Joy Whips, Councillor Alan Whips, Councillor Brian Toy, Councillor Eileen Beach, Councillor Frank Cullis, Councillor Maddie Chapman, Councillor David Poor, Councillor Angela Boatwright. I note that Councillor Ian Kervan and Councillor Andrew Coleman aren't here, but I haven't had apologies from them unless they've been passed by a member. No? Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other apologies? No? Thank you. We have two members of fresh to speak. Welcome to you both. So, welcome, Steve Coleman. We have 3 minutes to address the Council. Please, top there. I'm going to give you 3 minutes on. Thank you. If you'd like to come up and use one of the microphones.
This works?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Steve Callum, an Exmouth resident, and I'm speaking tonight on behalf of Exmouth Civic Society that Ian Callum cannot be here himself, and a group of residents from the northeast of Exmouth and the adjoining areas of Leicester. We ask council members to push for major revisions to the current draft of the local plan for the district in respect of housing and employment. On housing, the site allocations in the draft plan will add a further 1,000 new homes to Exmouth, in addition to the 1,000 plus homes under construction already built since 2020. An increase of 15% in the town's population and 25% for Brixington. This major expansion in the town's population will be well beyond the level that current infrastructure and services can support, particularly sewage, drainage, doctor surgeries and the secondary school. What is worse is that due to their location, many of the sites proposed will only provide medium density executive homes for commuters to Exeter rather than affordable housing for existing buildings that the town badly needs. The sites proposed in the northeast of the town and Mare Valley were specifically ruled out for development in the 2019 neighbourhood plan. In addition, building on the northeast site risks starting an actual process of coalescence with Limston, similar to that which has occurred between Topsham and Exeter. To address these issues, we urge that the following changes should be made. Firstly, use must be made of the government's proposed new flexibilities in determining the total number of homes that need to be built, take account of the natural barriers that exist in East Devon as a whole and Exmouth in particular. The local plan should not be progressed further until the full impact of these regulations can be incorporated. Secondly, to further ease the unacceptable burden on towns like Exmouth, the delivery of homes from the proposed new settlement located to the North Hill Barton should be significantly increased beyond the plan 2,500. This will also make a positive contribution to meeting EDC's own climate emergency strategy. Thirdly, switch the main focus for Exmouth to primarily providing affordable homes for existing residents built on sites with an easy reach of the town's key facilities and public transport links. The disused police station, an occupied post office, and EDC's own campground terrace are examples of potential alternative sites that could be used. On employment, the intention to create badly needed jobs in Exmouth is welcomed, but there must be a far more credible plan to bring this about and support the ailing town centre that is currently the case. The proposal in the draft plan to cobble together parts of individual fields in the northeast of Exmouth that span country roads into employment sites is quite frankly ludicrous. From previous conversations, we know a number of council members share many of these concerns, and we ask that the council as a whole now add its considerable weight to calls for major revisions to the current local plan.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Campbell. Our next speaker is Jeff Skinner. Welcome, and you have 3 minutes as well. Thank you very much.
Good evening. I'm speaking on behalf of the Exmouth Community Association. Firstly, I support everything that the association does, everything the previous students just said. So rather than repeat the same points, I just want to bring out one or two from our point of view. Well, we've sent our comments on the consultation, but words are not always followed by action. We certainly believe that's been the case over the last few years, and the Tesco reference site. Goodmore is certainly spring to mind in that context. Regarding affordable housing, even now we've got a developer trying to push an application through in town where he said it's not viable to include affordable housing. But what a joke. If it's not viable, why is he making the application? I mean, is he hoping that he's going to get some sort of compromise out of the planners that seeks him, but not the town? It can't go on. We desperately need employment in the town, and we welcome the identification of a new site on Salford Road, but it must be marketed vigorously and a lot better than certainly the experience with Redgate. And there's a lot of attention, of course, on the science park and the airport, and I raised this at the exhibition in Ocean. I certainly got the impression that Exmouth, along with the other towns in East End, run a very poor second place in priority for employment. And it's got to stop. We've got to get our fair share. So I think there are going to be challenges if this plan goes through, when it goes through. And I think we look to councillors to see that the plan is actually implemented in full, and that the developers don't working rules to suit themselves. And I think that's a challenge for all of you, both town councillors and East End councillors. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Skinner. Thank you both for coming out and time to put your comments to the council. Sorry.
Carry on, speakers. Okay.
Thank you. And hopefully you'll see that I think a lot of your comments have been picked up in the response that the council will be looking at this evening. So if I can move back to the agenda, please. Item 2, council meeting minutes to confirm and sign the correct record of the minutes of the meeting of the council on the 12th December 2022 attached. Could I have a proposal? Seconded by Brian Bailey. All those in favour, please shout. Thank you, that's Karen. Move on to item 3, matters arising from those minutes, information over. Anything you have to?
No.
Item 4, declaration of grooming interest and dispensation. Members to declare any interest they may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. You can't think of anything that you wish to declare. If it comes up in discussion, please feel free. But are there any members? Councillor Lapsley.
I mean, we've all obviously got an interest in that, so I'm assuming that that's going without saying we don't need to declare those interests.
No. Good evening, Andrew. It's up to you. I mean, it's not a pecuniary interest. It would be a personal interest. Bearing in mind that we're only consultees and we're not voting on anything, I don't think it's necessary.
Anyone else? We move on to item 5, result of pressing public day excluded from the meeting during consideration of item items in part 2 of the agenda as it involves the lighting disclosure of exempt information as defined in part 1 schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972. With your permission, members, I would like to move up the agenda, item 7 to 10. The two very important issues that we must discuss and ratify this evening. So could I have your permission to move those up the agenda?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your cooperation. So we move to item 7, which is the draft budget for the ensuing year. You will recall that we...
Item 7 is the local plan. Item 8 is the budget. So did you want to do the local plan first?
My apologies, I've got them in the wrong order. Okay. The local plan, which is, as you can see, a very in-depth document. Can I first of all put on record our thanks to Lisa the Town Clerk, Molly and all our staff with the extra work that this has entailed. It's been a very quick and expedient process that we've had to go through. We could have had our way, we would have liked a longer time scale to discuss it in more depth. But I think the way that it's been discussed by the working parties and by an extra council meeting has been exceptional enough. Attended and partaken in the debate and the conclusions that we've come to. I don't intend to go through 200 pages, but are there any members that wish to raise any items? If we do, could you? I haven't got pages numbers. Let us know which section so that we can all get to the relevant page. Thank you. Over to you, members. Councillor
Cahill,
and then
I think Councillor Solomon. Thank you, Chair. Yes, the external local plan in draft. I attended both of the meetings that the Town Council had to discuss various chapters of the local plan, and some interesting discussions and debate, and we came up with some responses. But that said, I'm of the opinion that East End District Council, having reviewed their East End local plan from when they published it in 2016, and now we've received, possible change in policy from national government, yet we haven't seen the definitive of what that's going to be. I'm of the opinion that this town council should actually put a hold on any decision making or input into the East End local plan until the district council has decided which way they're going to go with it. Because I'm not sure that we've received from the district council as to what the way forward is. Now, I stand corrected if I'm wrong, but if they're not giving us guidance how they're going on behalf of what the government is coming from, then we should put a hold on this. And my other view is that a lot of all these things about development is developer-led, not community-led. Wrong, because the developer shouldn't be calling the shots as to how Exmouth expands or doesn't expand, as the case may be. That should be down to the community of Exmouth, because we can't go on building with no infrastructure, no medical services, no doctor services, no appropriate roads, no transport infrastructure, no public transport infrastructure, cycleway infrastructure. It's just wrong that we're actually progressing like this, in my view. And I would look to my fellow councillors to support what I'm saying, because I feel that we should just put a hold on it, just stop it until the district council actually get their ducks in a row can say exactly how we're going to progress based on what the government has decided to do for the future across the national picture.
Steve?
Steve?
Yeah, can I? Just wanted to answer Councillor Cahill's first point. I, like many district councillors, did receive an email from Ed Freeman, the planning officer, in relationship to the minister making the comment of reducing the numbers. And the advice that we were given is that we should continue and make our local plan up, because until we get it in writing, we should continue with the information collected, because it would be helpful to have that information at hand. I don't know whether that helps.
I did see that email, that's what I'm saying. It's, as councillors, friends with town council, I disagree with it.
I don't know what you're saying then.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Councillor Ridley. I'm fully aware of all those points, but that doesn't mean we have to follow. As a town council, we look after the town and its parish, its wards. So we don't have to follow, and we can criticise officers. Just because we're district councillors doesn't mean we can't criticise the staff of the council. So I'm not criticising. I am saying is that we need to revisit this as a town council with the district council and say stop, because before we know it, decisions are made and it's too late. And as per the previous published East Devon plan, when we brought it up to discuss planning permission at Goodmores, two ward councillors, Brixton and one Folkestone, made representation of the planning committee. And as I said, there's no point having a plan if you don't implement what you've got in the plan. And that's a classic example. They've written a plan and they didn't actually implement what they have written in their plan. So I rest my case.
This isn't a call.
No, I'm just saying, I rest my case. I'm using a word.
Okay.
frame.
Thank you. Councillor Brewster, sorry.
Sorry, Chair. Thank you very much for that, Chair. I just wanted to touch on a couple of issues that have come to my attention. I've been lobbied by the Tara residents group. I've been lobbied by them. And I've also been lobbied by Councillor Jeff Yoon, who's been speaking to me as a board councillor for Lymstone and Woodbury. He couldn't be with us this evening, but I know that a couple of points that he said that the Exford Civic Society said, remove the further intrusions into the Mare Valley by removing sites EXMO 5, 6 and 8. And Councillor Ewan replied, agreed, as although this area is not protected by the AOMB, this location should be retained as agricultural land and the proposed Valley Park. So I think that's very important. I've also received communications from Tara, which was sent to Councillor Allen, the Chair of the Scrutiny Committee, and they said that whilst the statements do not yet seem to be backed up with clear guidance, they nevertheless introduce considerable uncertainty into the ongoing planning process. Given the long planning horizon intended for the EDC's local plan, it seems to be unsafe and inappropriate for the currently declared timetables to be allowed to continue without review. So that's also what I've read, and I've also read the pact that we were given, that members feel the vision reflects the District Council's plan, and it goes on to say, as we've touched tonight, that infrastructure is not clearly defined in the emerging plan, and I think that, as Councillor Cagle said, infrastructure is very important. And my last point that I want to make is that some of us have probably been sent comments from the Avenues Residents Association, and I would like, if it's possible, for them to be studied in maybe greater detail and possibly brought forward as part of our submission, as it's quite a comprehensive document the Avenues residents have done, and I think we need to respect the fact that residents have taken considerable time to produce these sort of documents. So that's my very basic thoughts, and I'll leave it there for others to speak on this topic, and thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Brian Bain.
Thank you, Chair. Well, first of all, I'd like to support the two speakers. So earlier, I totally agree with their sentiments. And Councillor Cagle, and Brewster's on. And I think I still support what the Chairman of Planning had to say. However, this is, in my opinion, thrust upon us by officers. Well, that is not strictly the case. The officers are under instruction from the council. The officers weren't elected. The officers are employed members of the council who do the bidding of the council. In this case, allegedly, the bidding of the leader of the council, Paul Arnold, who is the one who's driving this. Make no bones about it, he is the one who's driving this forward. And that's the way it is. We're being asked to make decisions with one hand tied behind our back and our head in a bag. Because, as people have said, we don't know what's going to come up from Mr. Gove, if anything. So the officer would say, carry on. Well, Ed Streeman would say that because he's the officer in charge. And he wants to drive it forward as well. So the fact that he's telling our district councillors, you must go ahead with, I think that's wrong. It's not for Ed Freeman to tell our district councillors what to do and not to do. And we're being forced into a corner with this. And I think it just belies a democratic process. And here we are, we can make a decision tonight. Dare I say that if we were to have some written representation that the infrastructure would come first, then some of these plans are worthy of consideration, but certainly not all of them. Because we haven't got the room in Exmouth to fix that room, because of the geographical situation we're in. As we mentioned before, that Martin is the place to do all this, where they've got thousands of acres, a dual carriageway, a bristling town centre. That's the place to build houses, but we're asked to build more houses here than Martin, which is physically impossible. So I would support Fred's original suggestion that we put this on hold until we have more information. After all, it's still got 8 years to run on this plan, so there is absolutely no urgency whatsoever. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. I don't think that we are in a position to hold it back tonight. We have to send in
you, Chairman. I support all the other speakers. I would say, I don't know what the rush is, because it doesn't expire until 2031. Mm. So why are we rushing it? It took us 4 years to make the E7 plan that went through in 2016. What's the rush? Is it the elections coming up soon? I don't know, but it seems that we've been rushed through, and if we have been to nearly every meeting, and when I look at it, at the end of each place, there's always something supplementary that's going to be added to it. Well, what is the supplementary? We don't know. We're actually putting our decisions on something which is going to be added on to. Every single thing, there was something that we were going to do supplementary evidence. Well, we're actually making our suggestions or putting our thoughts forward on only half the thing, because what we think we're putting our names to might necessarily not be what they're actually writing at the end of it. So do we get another bite at the cherry, or is this the only one we've got? Because there's lots of questions that are going to be asked, because it's not, I mean, we're given our, we've been to the whole meeting, so we've given our views on what's in front of us, but there's some more things that are going to be added on to this, of which we won't actually see.
Can I clarify? It's the supplementary planning documents that, which aren't, they don't have the same legal force as the strategic policies. So the strategic policies are outlined in the draft local plan, but the supplementary documents, that's where there's another level of detail. And yes, you're right that there's quite a few policies where they've said that there's another level of detail, but they don't have the same legal status as the strategic policies. Ollie might, Councillor Davey might be able to corroborate that in terms of the SPDs. They'll add a level of detail. They won't contradict the actual strategic policies, but they will add a level of detail. So, for example, our shopfront guide in Exmouth is adopted as a strategic policy document, and it adds another level of detail to the design. My advice, though, just listening to councillors, is I think, it's a very valid point about whether the plan should be suspended or not. If you don't respond, though, I fear that you will miss an opportunity to make your views known at this stage of the process. And a lot of work has gone in the last few weeks in trying to formulate some initial feedback. There will be further rounds of consultation. But if you don't respond, are you missing an opportunity to make your feelings known at this very early stage of the plan process? That would be my concern.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, as Councillor Davey has mentioned, bringing Councillor Davey and Councillor
Davey. Okay, thank you. With regard to the new local plan, the plan is more than just land applications. There's an awful lot in there, and a lot of it is actually about thinking up what developers can and can't do. In terms of rushing it through, the timescale is tight, but it's not excessively so, and an inspector won't pass that plan if he considers it's just been rushed through and all written on the back of an envelope. It's not unusual review a local plan during its period, especially when you have a new administration. But I would just point out that it was a council decision to review the new local plan or to produce a new local plan. But I accept it's probably got some impetus from the leader and from the service lead, but they are not the only people kind of pushing this through, because they wouldn't be able to do it if no councillors were in favour. But with regard to the Michael Gove announcement, I hugely welcome that. And I do agree that the whole process has been very developer-led, and I have said so. But until somebody finds me a way of producing a strategic plan that doesn't involve seeing where people want to develop from, deciding whether it goes into your local plan or not, we are stuck with the system we've got. It's fine to say we should decide where we want development to be, but unless that land is actually available, we can't just say what we want it there. So to some extent, it is developer-led, because you have to have a call for sites, and you have to review those sites when they come in, as has been done. So until we know exactly what the legislation is going to look like, we have to proceed with the plan as it is. And I think we have made our feelings clear about the sites that have been allocated to Exmouth. Perhaps if I can bring us back to the topic in hand, we have, by and large, rejected most of those. I think we may have to accept some of them in the end, because I think we're going to accept that we do need some housing in the town. And it's certainly not going to be fulfilled by brownfield sites. But until we know exactly that those numbers are going to be suspended, we have to carry on with the process.
Thank you. Councillor Tindall.
Thank you, Steve. I'm not being a district councillor myself, I'm not tied into any support or otherwise of districts, and this is a district plan. But I do think we've been asked questions, and I think we need to answer. What I've not heard from any of the proponents of delay and not responding is what actually we will gain by not responding, because as Councillor Ollie Davies just said, there are a lot of other things in this apart from the housing allocations, the employment plan, etc. A couple I'd like to raise are the climate issues, and they have been brought through by District Council, who have declared a climate emergency like we have in this council, and transport sustainability issues, which are things like cycle paths, like better provision of public transport, all of those things. I think, as we have discussed them in our small working groups with this, we have given it a lot of time and a lot of thought. And if I can reassure Jeff and Steve, as our public speakers there, that the vast majority of what you have said is included in our feedback to District Council. So we're not ignoring, as a council, the fact that that we oppose certain kinds of development in certain areas. Another issue which has come up repeatedly over the years is population profile and balance. We keep on having these applications for shelter accommodation, for care homes, etc. And the proportion of the older section of the community, if you like, is going up. That is not really a healthy thing. And we need these employment lands and everything else to make sure we try and keep the population in balance. We tried to do that through, I'd like to repeat what Steve said. Thank you to Lisa, thank you to the colleagues, thank you to everybody around this table who has contributed into the process. But I think what we do here is contribute to the district interim thing. Councillor Pauline Stott said, have we got another bite of the cherry? There will be another bite when the plan comes nearer to finality. So we're not losing anything by going ahead and giving our opinions on what the district has said. So ask other councillors to support, and I will propose that we go along with our current response.
Thank you. Councillor Lynn Elson.
I'm going to make a question, Chair. At the meeting, I did ask whether we could make a point about development contribution, including health rather than just education. I didn't know whether
that's been that has been factored into one of the responses. Thank you,
Chair.
Nice to see you back. Councillor Jones.
Hi there. I just managed to communicate with Dan Leisure, who's the chair of the Strategic Planning Committee. I just asked him why it's been reviewed. His response is, because we have a five-year declining land supply, a lot of the sites, both housing and commercial, from the last plan haven't come through. For example, the Atomistic Master Plan, which doesn't directly affect us, but affects the whole, you know, the larger number of housing. So we need to redo it. Plus, as Tim has suggested, it allows us to bring forward zero carbon adoption measures. Without five-year land supply, which we currently don't have, we lose the ability to effectively turn down applications, and we'll see a lot of applications that are policy compliant being approved at appeal. So that's the reason it's happening now. Thank you.
Councillor Brian Dean.
Thank you, Chair. When I supported Councillor Cable's idea of everything on hold, I still support that. But I'm not saying do not respond. We could respond in a negative manner. We could respond saying we're not happy with this for various reasons, always said by a multitude of councillors around this room. So it's not a case of not responding. It's a case of putting our point of view to East Devon, that many of us around this room are not happy with the situation. I too appreciate all the work that the Farm and South have done. But it's great pressure on them. It's a rush job. And there's no need for a rush job whatsoever. And we can categorically state to East Devon, who are not our lords and masters, they are there because we've elected them. It's as simple as that. So they're not there to dictate to us what we do and what we don't do. It's our decision and our decision alone, what we decide to respond to them. And that's the bit that seems to getting missed, with no disrespect to Joe. Joe's saying, well, this is what they say we must do. Well, I can't agree with that. Yeah. Nothing personal, Joe, but you are your own man. We are our own people. We haven't got to respond because Ed Freeman wants us to, or because Paul Arnott wants us to. We can tell the truth as we see it. We're in a situation geographically challenged where the sewage system, as we all know, is in a state of discontent, to put it mildly. It just doesn't work. You know, it's not fit for purpose. So why would anyone in their right mind want to build more houses to connect to a sewage system that plain doesn't work with the houses we've got? That logically would be enough to stop anyone from doing it. But no, not East Devon, we'll carry on regardless. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever, Chair. Thank you very much.
Councillor Tony Woodward.
Yes, thank you. Specifically on the point of the delay, the draft that we have proposed here sets out various projections that we have. I think there's probably a large consensus about which bits we like and which bits we don't like, but we don't want to see development. And I agree with the public speakers, so there's certain parts that we don't want to see. But the figures that we've been given for housing, 964, supposing it's reduced to 2/3 of 600, and that's a great advantage to us because they're reduced to 12. But the points that we are making would be exactly the same. So we'll just have less pressure to have properties put on to us that we don't want. So the, for example, on page 20, or workplaces we don't want to see development. And that would be exactly the same, whatever the number. If it's one house in the whole of East Devon, it'd still be making the same points. So I think it's imperative that we do put forward our plans now, our objections, so that the council, the East Devon Council, know what they are and take them into account, and the sooner the better. So I think we should not be delayed.
Thank you. Councillor Mike Watson.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to second a lot of work from officers, particularly from our county clerk and from other councillors who engaged in working parties looking at all the different aspects of the plan. And I think if it's not submitted, it would be pointless.
Thank you. Are there any other councillors that wish to make any points on the plan? No.
That's okay.
Good for you.
Yes, thank you. Let me make it clear. I didn't say put it on. Perhaps I did not make it clear. Yes, I did say about put on hold. What I was trying to imply was that in Maine we have local elections. We could end up with an entirely different town council and an entirely different district council. And yet we're still trying to put a plan forward that all the current councillors are trying to contribute to that may not be in place in Maine. So we need to take that into consideration and to also remember that we have 25 councillors on this council. We've had two meetings to discuss this, and it was a very useful debate. And I think that we all, those who attended, and there was six at the first meeting and eight councillors at the second meeting, which I've got to say I personally was disappointed with. But it was a very useful debate. So I'm not saying not put this forward, but what I'm saying is that perhaps we can make representations to the district council that they start thinking about this in a little bit more process in light of local elections coming up in May. That's my point.
I think the town clerk might say something.
Just to say we have more than two meetings.
Well, the two meetings.
You attended two, but we actually had a number of working party meetings. So I think we had about six meetings in total, where we chunked it down and specific working parties looked at specific responses. So Section 106 Working Party met, Climate and Ecological Emergency Working Party met, Transport Partnership met, Planning Committee met.
Talking about the two meetings.
Yeah, and then there were two that were for all councillors.
Yeah, still disappointing. Yeah. 25 councillors. Had six at one and then took another. I just found that was disappointing personally.
Thank you.
I mean, it does feel like generally there's quite a consensus among the councillors here, which I think is a good thing in terms of our opposition to the scale of the development that's being proposed. So I'm sure, Lisa, that's going to come through in the response, because I think that's been fairly consistent. I've attended in here tonight. I don't think there's anyone here saying we support the large scale development that's being proposed in the various areas. But I do take on board Councillor Woodward and Councillor Woodley's comments that, you know, we do think we need to participate in the consultation, but make sure we put those points across as to the strength of the feeling that we have here in Exmouth. So that was what I wanted to add. Thank you.
I'll take it as a fully stop.
For all the councillors are putting a lot of work, and Lisa and her staff are putting a terrific amount of work, but I think, you know, looking back, we definitely should put in a response, because there's a lot of useful information what we put back in responses. When you read through it, there's some really useful stuff in there which perhaps East End might like to take on board. So I think we definitely ought to put our thoughts forward, even though we're against all. Well, from the development side, we're against that. Perhaps the rest of the things aren't so bad, but I think we should definitely put forward our responses.
Okay, so we have a proposal to Councillor Tim Dunbar, seconded by Mike Rosser, that we send forward our responses as laid out in the document, and that should be the Town Council's response. All those in favour, could you show that we've moved?
Fred, how are you voting? You're voting in favour? That's unanimous then.
I
think. Oh, did you have your hand raised? Yeah.
Those any against? No. So that's carried unanimously. Fine.
Can I just ask a question more for our guests or visitors here, Steve? Is that response a public affair or is that private?
So our public speakers have seen a copy specifically of our response to Chapter 6, the proposed development sites that we debated last week. But we need to respond through the Commonplace portal, So we will respond with the smiley faces and then the supporting comments. And those comments will be publicly accessible through the Common Place portal. But I knew that our speakers were specifically interested in the land allocations. So they have a copy of what the proposed response is on that. Obviously, our full response covers all the policies pretty much in the draft local plan, and they've been reviewed by our various working parties.
Thank you. Thank you, members. Discussion. And once again, thank you to everybody in the offices and the staff for the immense amount of work and long hours.
It's okay. Can I just add that we have been asked as well just to express the council's frustration at the time frame and the fact that the consultation was over the Christmas period. So there are additional comments that will be submitted, you know, wherever there's an opportunity for us to do that. Okay.
Can I thank our two public speakers that came along. If you wish to stay for the rest of the meeting, you can. Or you can exit by...
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And thank you for coming.
Jeff, you know your way out of the building. Do you mind accompanying the gentleman? Just make sure they know where the door... Because I'm not sure if we've got a doorman downstairs anymore. He might have left, all right? So you know it's the button on the side. Thank you very much.
There's been a lot on social media saying that the neighbourhood town councillors aren't doing anything to it. I did put on there that we were going to reach each of the things on the local plan. But a lot of them are worried about the housing and our responses. They think that we're not putting any responses.
Okay.
Is it possible to put the land bit?
Well, we can issue a press release.
Yeah.
We'll issue a press... Yeah, no, we'll issue a press release. I'll put together a draft press release which summarises the debate and the response, and we can put that out.
That'd be good, because a lot of people think they're not doing anything.
Yep, that's fine.
Thank you for that, Curtis. We then move forward to item A, to ratify the 2023 budget and associated precept, supporting documentation which you all have received. Yet again, we had a lengthy meeting to discuss this at a previous council seminar, if you like. Thank you to all those that attended. It was very good. And thank you to the royal officers for the way that they dealt with the paperwork and laid it out so easily for us to understand. And the recommendation from those that were at that meeting was that it would be recommended to full council. So are there any councillors that have any questions to Lisa, please? Councillor Bruce Tissot.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Yes, I thought my apologies, I wasn't actually at that particular meeting. I was just glancing through the figures, and I know that CCTV, that's obviously quite an important priority. We've agreed 15,000, and I think we spent 9.5, if I read the figures correctly, to date. So I just wonder whether the 15,000 would be enough, or whether we ought to consider budgeting for a bit more, given that already we've spent 9,500 on. So I think obviously CCTV is a very important tool in the fight against the crime and disorder. And I know that Councillor Cable and the committee worked very hard to bring in the right system. And I just think that we must make sure we have adequate financial resources to support it. And I just welcome your comments. But obviously, I appreciate you've been budgeting with a very fine tooth comb. And I thank you for your indulgence.
Can I respond? Yeah. So what we've budgeted in our revenue budget for the coming year at £15,000 is essentially to cover the outsourced monitoring and data access processing that Torbay Council will be undertaking on our behalf from the week after next. So that's a revenue cost that we need to cover that Torbay Council will be providing on our behalf. The £9,000 that we've spent this year was all capital costs. It related to the extra cameras that have gone in and the groundwork that needed to be done for those. If we have any further capital costs that we need to budget in the coming year, we've got money in reserves that can cover that. So our budget purely reflects the ongoing running costs, if you like, of the CCTV system, not the capital costs. We've got other sources of funding for that if we need it.
Right.
And actually, we've been a little bit over-generous because the revenue costs are budgeted at £12,000, not £15,000, but we've rounded it up to £15,000, because there's a little bit of an unknown quantity in terms of the number of data access requests that will be coming in from the police. So we've rounded it up. So I'm happy with that amount. And if we decide we want to invest in more cameras, we've got money in reserves to cover that.
Can we just add in then, that's on the 23rd of this month?
Yes.
We will be handing over the monitoring to Torbay CCTV control. So we won't have any input to that. We're just paying them for a service. And they will be monitoring it live on Friday and Saturday night. But the rest of the time they will be able to access the cameras at all times on request from the police. Thank you.
And they have a radio link with the police set up as well. So it will be a vast improvement on what we've got currently.
Excellent. Well done.
Councillor Elson, you have a question.
Yeah, I heard from the budget for the 2023 festival. We've obviously prayed that we're going to have a number of changes and improvements. I was concerned that the figures are quite tight in some areas, but when you change a festival, having been through this in other areas, there is added expenses because you've got something new to new people to actually contact and get sponsorship from. And I just wondered whether all that had been taken into account in the budget, because it seemed quite tight to me for a changing year.
So again, we've got money in reserves that we can call on. But part of the proposal around changing the format of the festival was that the infrastructure costs associated with having it on the Imperial Recreation Ground were massive. £70,000 went on infrastructure. So when you remove that, when you look at a multi-site delivery, the infrastructure costs and the security costs come right down. But as with the approach we've taken, you know, for the last few years, it's a case of starting with a budget, a baseline budget, and then building the income through sponsorship, through stall income, through, you know, external support, and then building your delivery to match the available budget that you've got, and we're taking the same approach.
When you change marketing and website and everything else, it's usually a lot more difficult because you've got to reach new people. You can't use exactly the same.
So the web, we had a fairly robust discussion about it, but there is money in reserves, so. And we've put in a much more, our application to the Arts Council, which we will know about by mid-February, we've requested a lot more money. I think we've requested 25,000, as opposed to the normal sort of 10,000, 12,000 that we've requested. We feel that the new festival model fits more with the Arts Council objectives than what we've been delivering. So hopefully we'll get. We're not sponsoring them. We get sponsorship income from them. Yeah, right. It's an income source. Yeah. So we have delegated authority for maintaining the roundabouts, but in exchange for maintaining them, Devon County Council allow us to offer out sponsorship opportunities, and we get to keep the sponsorship revenue. And we get about £5,000 a year in sponsorship revenue for the 4 or 5 roundabouts that we're responsible for. So it's income. It's income rather than expenditure.
Yeah, a couple of things. First, to say I very much, based on what we heard before Christmas, very much support the ideas of the budget. One thing I wanted to add in was to say Thank you in particular to Julie Gregory, both for the part she's played in this budget, and also to say thank you for her many years of service, as she's retiring quite soon. And a question, when we were looking at the possible amount of the precept and the, what we were going to, it looked as if we were something like 4% increase on last year's council tax plan D.
I didn't work the percentage out actually, Tim, but I can tell you in monetary terms, it's less than that. It's
still less than 2 years ago.
It's £58.37 for a band D. Yeah, £58.37 for a band D property. Last year it was 56, so it's gone up £1. £2.37. I have to say, actually, though, back in 2017 it was £58.59. We maintained that in 2018-19. It went up to £60 in 2019-20. Came down to £59.67 in 2021, came down to £57.14 in 2021-22, £56 in 2022-23, and it's gone back up to £58.37. So we've maintained it at or below 60 for the last eight or nine years.
It shows a couple of things. One is the excellence of the prudence and the budgeting management that you and your staff give us. And also to say that in a time of extremely high inflation, we needed two things. One, to increase a little bit, but secondly, not to increase so much that we're intensifying cost of living crisis for everybody out in our town. So that's what's been attempted, and I think with the reserves, both earmarked and otherwise, I think it's a very good budget. Thank you.
Councillor Boyd, you start.
I was going to propose that we extend the budget, so I think it's a very good one. So I've got a second for it. And also I'd like to thank Julie Gregory. She's done an awful lot of work under difficult circumstances these last few years. And I think we all owe her a lot of thanks. I just hope the person who ever takes over from when is as good as what she is.
Thank you, Jane. I'm quite happy to second Councillor Scott's proposal that we accept the budget, and I would like to ask Chair if it's something that we can communicate to the wider public, because I think that's a very good message that we can get out to the local council.
Yeah, likewise, we can do a press release once it's been ratified.
Yeah,
that's fine.
You. So it's on the papers, but we're proposing a precept of £761,125. And the deadline for submitting that to the District Council is the 18th of this month.
Okay, so we have a proposal and a seconder for that. All those in favour, could you show, please?
That's unanimous.
That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Other bodies, and clerk, deputy
happy to take questions if anybody's got any questions off me.
Any questions? Fred Cagle.
Yeah, I've got a question. I think I've read it in the CEE Working Party report about tree planting, is that correct?
Yeah, we're going to come on to that.
Oh, sorry, am I jumping the gun?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
It's in one of the reports, sorry.
No, because it went to our December meeting.
Went
to December meeting. Yeah. And in fact, that was another reason, because we had a meeting the week before Christmas, you know, and then we had the Christmas break. Actually, Chetna and I didn't have a great deal of new information to report, so...
My apologies, yeah.
That's okay. So we'll move then down through the list. 20 to 30 minutes, the meeting held on 5th December, 19th December, 2022, which are attached.
Sent the notes out separately. The notes were sent with the budget and the local plan response on Friday. Lynn's saying that the original full council pack that came out, the agenda for the Climate and Ecological Emergency Working Party was appended instead of the meeting notes. But the meeting notes came out on meeting notes for the Climate and Ecological Emergency Working Party was circulated separately on Friday.
My question was relevant to that. So, as you mentioned, thank you.
There was another item I wanted to bring up as well, and that is that it's been mentioned in this in council before about the former food network, which is being coordinated by a number of voluntary organisations in town, now called the Mushroom Food Network or something similar, and I wanted to say that I picked up the fact that the Mushroom Network is being launched on January the 23rd, and I believe the launch is in the town hall somewhere from 1 o'clock.
Okay.
The dates of the yonder oak wood are on the screen. Saturday the 4th, Sunday the 5th, and Saturday the 18th and 19th of February. And you were on the screen?
Yeah,
the top. At the top, look when and where. But you do have to book, don't you, Tim?
You do.
So we will include the link to the booking page in the bulletin this week, and then you can register if you're interested in getting involved.
And also to say that because of the restriction on car parking up there at the moment and the narrowness of the lane, they are actually running so many buses from Exmouth. Not sure exactly where from in town, but they are.
Here's a good start. Thank you, Chair. I have a quick couple of questions for you, Tim. I know that LD noted that Exmouth Community College has a class 3 school status. Would it be possible for us to invite a representative of the college to come and speak to the town council about the benefits of having such a status, as it's quite an important thing? And then you said that you were considering the first draft about the Exmouth motion for the ocean. And I wonder who you're obviously going to involve the accessory partnership. What other groups are going to be involved, and how do you see this panning out? Because it says that further work needs to be done before it goes to full council. So I'm concerned about that. And my final point is about the public conveniences. Are we getting the right deal from the EDC in terms of the heads of terms? Because from what I can read, it's not a great deal of a decent sort of written thing they put forward.
Okay, well, on your first point about plus three stages. Community College. I would like to welcome the fact that they've got that now and congratulate them publicly on that. And yes, good idea, invite somebody along and talk about it. That follows, of course, fairly quickly on the acquisition by itself of plastic free community status. So we're basically going quite well. On your other points, in terms of the motion for the ocean, Lisa had reported back to our working party on some discussion she had with Adrian Toole of Transition Exmouth. And Adrian, of course, his daughter was involved in marine reduction plastic and that kind of area. And Adrian obviously supports motion for the ocean, but when we had the material come through, the motion was so long and so complicated that we felt we needed it a bit slimmed down. I don't know, Lisa, whether you wanted to comment on that, because you were going to do a little bit more.
I haven't had time to do anything more on it, but you're right that a lot of what we discussed at the working party was feedback from Adrian Toole on the scope to adopt an ocean for the motion. It hasn't been shared with the officer from the Accessory Management Partnership yet, Bruce. I'm happy to do that, but I think we need to do a little bit more work on it first, really.
I think Bruce had one more question.
It was about whether we've got an appeal for the whether you're satisfied with it.
There's an awful lot of work to be done on that, both with district and both working in ever-increasing size groups on what the vision for this particular eco-fab is.
Thank you very much, Jim. Are you delighted?
Okay.
Thank you. Well, actually, I've got two questions now because Bruce has reminded me of something. The first one is about trees, and I'm sure I read in the report about 2,000 trees. And I think I read rightly, correct me if I'm wrong, that there was going to be a lot of trees planted on the Brixington playing field, which I'm a bit concerned that if we plant too many trees on there, lose what's actually a green open space. So I don't know how.
planting trees, that we don't repeat what happened before when loads of trees were planted and there was no water to water them. Because young trees, as we know, need water. We have a hot summer. I don't know when these trees are planned to be planted, but we have a hot summer, they need water. So we need to factor that into the equation when we plant the trees, so we can actually access water easily to keep those trees alive to grow. So that's the first point, and if you could answer about St John's Plain, Bridgeton Plainfield, that would be great. Second point was, I did read notes about the eco-type building at the toilets, and I, like Councillor Sorin, read the notes and I thought East End District Council, it's almost like missing the point. You can have the toilet to build a building and still provide the toilets, but we want every ounce of it as well, you know, as a landlord. You know, they either sell it or give it to us to run as an eco hub and still provide the toilets, or they don't at all and we go and build somewhere else. But I think what they're asking for is just OTT.
I was going to leave because I noted Councillor Mike Ross putting his hand up, so I'm going to delay any answer on the trees till Mike has made his points, which I know he will do. On the eco hub and that kind of area, yes, there's no doubt, and Chapman has done again like she did with the water refill station, has done a huge amount of work with district officers on this to try and get some sort of acceptable heads of terms on it. But I think you're right, the district look at it very much as a property deal and that kind of thing. They want to keep control of it by leasing it, but they want to, as you say, extract every penny from it, and of course that is our aim as a town council, is A, to try and retain some of our toilets, and B, to try and have a centre where we can base climate
and educate the public.
Yeah, that kind of scheme. Anyway, so yes, I think there's a lot of water to go under the bridge before that scheme comes about. Anyway, Chair, I'll ask if Mike can
have a discussion and ask Mike also to
move on. Very briefly, as mentioned in the last meeting, it was noted that it had been decided that there would be a tree forum to try and integrate all the different initiatives. And I sort of assumed that now we've got something in place that would happen. Is it going to happen?
I think that's something. I mean, Zoe has been incredibly active. She's only in work 3 days a week. And I mean, she's also been attending to things like her movement down to London. And I understand, I'm sure she won't mind me mentioning, but she's today confirmed that she's exchanged contracts on houses. So she's now going to be moving down here very quickly. So she'll be in place all the time. But I think Zoe has learnt an awful lot in her time here, and she has also done quite a bit in terms of research on eco-hubs and that kind of thing, to try and move those, and visioning and that kind of thing. She hasn't, as far as I know yet, started any work on the tree forum, but it's something that we've got down in our list of things that have got to be done. And just to say, with regard to going back to your first question, Fred, with regard to the District Council trees scheme, it is a District Council scheme. They have told us, but it's all on district land, so it's not anything really that we can influence. But they are, I'm sure, taking into account, you know, I mean, the normal tree planting times what is it, Mike, between November and February? Is that the, that's the accepted time of year to plant trees because of the amount of rainfall we get at that time of year? And I mean, I think some of the ones, trees that have suffered, have been planted too late, basically. And of course, we had that enormous heat wave in the summer, and that had the effect, I mean, among other things, it killed trees down on the estuary, you know, which had been planted in place. Yeah, replaced.
Can I add some?
Thank you very much for that. Are you happy that we know?
Can I just add some detail? Yeah. In respect of the trees, so we were basically informed by Tom Wood, who's been working with Devon County Council to tap into this Woodland Trust Emergency Tree Fund. He said in his email that he'd outlined to all East Devon District Councillors what the proposals were. So you should have received a breakdown of where the trees are being planted in your capacity as a district councillor. But Brixington is phase two. So they were saying that phase one would commence in the spring of 2023, but phase two, Brixington's in phase two, and it doesn't say when that would be started.
I understand that. What the reason why I brought it up is obviously we still haven't had our sports facilities implemented yet at Brixton. We're still waiting for that. I don't know how many years on, and now they want to plant trees up there. So let's not put the cart before the horse, that's what I'm saying.
No.
Let's make sure that we get the full benefit of the investment for the young people to have healthy opportunities on the playing area before we start planting a few trees in other locations.
So if you're concerned about that potential conflict, yeah, perhaps you could respond directly to the email that you'll have received in your capacity as a district councillor.
But I just wanted to make everybody else aware.
Yeah, okay. Councillor Brewster Sarum's got his hand up.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, thank you, Chair. Now, I think obviously it's important that we lobby as a town council for placemaking in Exmouth to be pushed forward, because obviously we have regular updates with Jerry, and Aurora makes very positive and welcome contributions. But the only thing we've got so far is we need some signage. And discussions of what the trade is going to do in the season. And I mean, it's very important we do agree these matters, but I think we as a town council should be pressing Jerry to get something done on the site, because this has been ongoing since the Drew administration was over in 2019, and we've only just got a fitness pitch, which is also not fully utilised yet by AD. And so I don't know what other members feel, but I certainly feel that we as a town council need to be pushing for more to be done on the site. But I leave it with members to determine whether you feel the same way.
Did you have your hand raised? No?
No, that's fine, thank you. I just wanted to know when Jerry Mills was going to come back after his consultation to tell us what happened, but we never got it. He hasn't come back to us.
No, if you like, I'll make contact with him and see if there's an opportunity for the council to be updated.
Off the top of my head, I think there is a placemaking meeting coming up. You say, well, I can't remember when the date is, but I'm sure those of us that sound it will be making those points in the
No, you've missed out. You've missed out Ex-Estuary Management Partnership.
Oh, don't forget that. Ex-Estuary Management Partnership. To note that the partnership has secured funding to cover initial costs of the next sedimentation project, including some costs of an interim analysis of existing data, core sampling and sediment, and a LIDAR survey. The aim of the project is to better understand sources of sedimentation in the ex-estuary, evaluate sediment transport and identify locations in the catchment where work could be targeted to help address issues of sedimentation in the ex. Yes, quite a lengthy document. I think we have, Bruce, sorry, do you want to say, do you sit on that one? Or have I got that wrong?
The look of surprise on his face.
No, so I don't, I think we just, we received an email.
I haven't been to any of the last,
no.
Councillor Cahill, and then I suppose we know it.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I've got a question, really, and it sort of covers both, because here we are with Ex-Estuary Management Partnership, as you've already described. When we were initially setting up the BMP steering group, which I'm not on, the idea was that the data that we were looking at for the beach management was old data. So I very much welcome that the Ex-Estuary Management Partnership has secured some funding. I do worry that it's initial costs, because what happens when those initial costs are spent? We haven't got enough money to pay for all the surveys and the sediment, whatever. How do we then cover, or how does the Ex-Estuary Management Partnership cover ongoing costs? Because initial costs could just mean that, you know, could pay for the intern, but then the rest of it, you pay for it, you know, someone else has got to pay for it. So that's what I would ask. And is all this information going to be available to the BMP steering group? Because I've already pointed out to some members of the steering group that someone really needs to look at the cliff face down in Rodney Bay, because the cliff in place is being seriously undermined. An engineer really needs to look at that. I would have thought with some urgency, because I'm not an expert, but the way it's been washed out from underneath, before long you've got a massive cliff wall. So I think that needs looking at. So that's really the question. Are we going to get continuing funding for this data sort of retrieval? And is that going to be shared with the BMP?
Can I respond? Yeah. So, obviously, the officer of the Ex-Estuary Management Partnership is always looking out for funding sources. And there was a funding source. It's the Championing Coastal Coordination Initiatives, 3Cs Initiative. And she thought that that would be a good fit to do some further exploratory work on the sedimentation in the Ex. She secured £56,215. I don't know what the total size of the fund was, but I do know that the initial part of the project that's being funded has to be completed by the end of March this year. So obviously what they've bid for is allied to their capacity to actually be able to fulfil the project. But Steph Harper-Chung, the officer for the EMP, is actually attending the Beach Management Partnership meetings and is working with Tom Buxton-Smith, isn't it? Thompson Buxton-Smith. So there is very much a tie-in between the work that she's managed to get funding to do and how that will tie in with the beach management plan. I can't answer your question about what happens when that funding comes out. I haven't read the funding application, so I don't know if there's a second stage or a third stage. But it is very much a project that will tie into the work of the BMP.
Which is fine, because it would be interesting to see how that pans out. It's probably going to cost a lot more than £51,000 or £56,000 to get all that data. sure that we can manage our beach appropriately for forthcoming years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you start?
Well, sorry, I'm going to be trying to, which is part of this, if you like. I mean, the accessory manages the X, the beach management manages the C part of it, if you like. They are two separate ones, because all the money is spent at the X and the sediment is to do with the mussels and the whatever else is growing, sea grass and all that sort of stuff. Because when the boats used to go backwards and forwards, they used to move all the sediment, of which the eel grass used to feed off of, and the leg worms and all that used to feed off. Now there's nothing going backwards and forwards, so it's silting up right now. Then of course all these things are dying off. So I think that's what a lot of the things to actually look at the sediment and how it's actually living in it.
So actually the call for evidence that the X Estuary Management Partnership undertook, which is what's prompted this application, covered several things. It covered the reduction in the protective buffer from pole sams, which obviously has a direct impact potentially on the beach. It covered the sedimentation of the X from the beach recharge, and it also covered the mud banks and the mussel beds, but there were three components to it. But I have got a copy of the application form and a breakdown of the costs. So the aerial bathymetric LIDAR survey constitutes £40,000 of the money that they have been awarded, almost £5,000 in core sampling costs. Analysis of the existing survey data is about £1,200. The intern is only £3,760 or something. So they've had to break down, you know, how they're going to spend that grant quite a lot of detail.
It seems at the moment the only thing they've come up with is that perhaps they might put a groin in by the lifeboat station, which I don't know whether the lifeboat station is very happy, sorry, but to care, I'm just going to mention it. They are looking at trying to put in a groin there to try and protect that beach. Whether they could put it in the other side of Mayor Rocks and that would protect it. Because at the moment, there's hardly any Mayor Rocks left because the sand has covered it all and it's actually covering the big point. But they're going to remove the small pipe that came across the beach, but it goes underneath the last photograph. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're talking about taking up the last photograph. That's all they came up with at that point.
I think we've moved on to the next item.
No. Excuse me.
I just wanted to point Councillor Cahill in a direction in terms of the erosion of the cliffs that you were speaking of. I think in the past, quite a lot of funding for that, both research and action, if you like, has come from DEFRA. And I think that would possibly be the direction to look in.
No, it falls under the beach management.
Well, beach management
we're going to be dealing with the beach management plan in a minute. Can we know the access to management partnership, please? Yes, thank you. Is that on the access to
Beach
Management. Okay. All right. So we move on then to the next item, which is Exmouth Beach Management Steering Group. To note the progress of scope report discussed at the meeting held on 14th December 2022, and I think our reps are Pauline Stott and Tim Dumper, if I've got that right. One of you want to say anything, please? You've said quite.
Because the sand is moving all the time and it's moving very fast. And it's moving downwards now, the beach is quite funny actually, and it's coming from sandy back then, from we all can point down. So,
we'll have to wait till afterwards, just always. Yeah. Well, I haven't got anything to add because I didn't go to the meeting.
Councillor Mike Rosser.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm going to have to make this point, but I am concerned and disappointed that whereas there seems to be a lot of concern for the welfare of mussels and shellfish, there seems to be less concern, if no concern, for managing the beach to ensure the safety of beach users. Last year, 22 people reported sick having thrown infections, including one boy who was affected A&E. I imagine there are a lot more people who become ill as a result of the sewage being discharged for more than 800 hours without either service being sewage being informed or the beach manager being informed. I'm still discussing this with the senior manager of Stratford Water, but whether or not we're making any progress about it.
Thank you, perhaps some reps will be taken on board. Are you happy that we know the report?
Yes.
Thank you. So we move on then to District Council's reports. Thank you to Joe Woodley for his report. Thank you. Any other councillors? District Council's got any reports?
Joe hasn't done a District Councillor's report.
Sorry.
No. People are going to be wondering if... No, Joe hasn't done one.
I'm sorry. I've got this one here, report from... Oh, yeah, it's about outside body.
Yeah.
My mistake.
I haven't had any district council reports circulated.
So we haven't got any reports. So we move on to county council's report and welcome Richard to the meeting. Have you got anything you'd like to enlighten us with? Or?
No, I enjoyed listening. No architect questions.
Any questions for Richard?
Thank you, Richard. I note that we've got a lot more HDB movements now. Moving the topsoil from test zones. It's quite a lot of soil to be moved. But I also note that it's causing a lot more pothole, sand, salt and rain, which I know has been filled in something, but it seems to have been a very, how should we say, cheap infill, because already it's starting to move out of those holes. So either, let's do a proper job. I know it's a difficult one, and I'm not trying to skirt around it, but there seems to be a lot more potholes than streets now through knowledge. And when you get a really deep hole, it needs to be jumped on very quickly by the county council because it causes immense damage to cars. I just thought I'd bring that to your attention. I'm sure you're aware of it, Richard, and I'm sure you're.
Any more questions before it's going to take all the questions together? Councillor Andrew Toy.
Yeah, this council will have to rethink its provision of convalescent homes because we expect things from the hospital closed a number of years ago. The lack of a halfway house to the hospital, willing to be fully back on their feet, this main cause of the crisis.
Can you tell us, Richard, are Devon County Council actually employing more home carers now? More carers? Because community carers. Because we did have 1,500 and it went down to, there's only about 50 left.
Thank you. I think it's over to you, Richard, please.
Thank you. I'm just glad I'm potholes, so the current situation with potholes, you'll actually be surprised, because the question that I asked on the weekend, you've actually got less potholes than I am last December. It feels like there are more potholes. But in terms of the point of Councillor Cagle, yes, it is a cheap infill. They should go back from Gunners, cut it out and patch it. So I heard a comment about patching, what's going on with the ones on patching. It is filled, and then we'll come back and do patching work later on. I don't agree that the damage on Salt Road's come from the developer. It's the same damage we've seen on Rockdale, but it's come from the competition where they sell. The crews have been working all over Christmas, where the rest of them are celebrating, filling those in. Are they filling them in quick enough? No. Will they all be filled in short? There's about 1,800 outstanding potholes at the moment, which is a small amount that we saw last January. When we have drier periods, I expect we'll be on top of it pretty soon. I don't like to see potholes on our roads. I don't like to see our roads in a rubbish condition. So the challenge will be part of the political leadership of the county council when it's going to be finished. But if you do have a frustration that I have, I'm sure my colleagues share. We get a lot of emails, people reporting potholes to us. We don't actually fix potholes. We set policies and we make sure that the officers and we make sure that the affected members do what their roles are. If we don't report potholes properly, they won't get inspected, they won't get fixed. So reporting them to Jeff Ryan and Christie, it really doesn't work. By reporting them more than once doesn't check that quickly or get responded to. So they're all inspected in the same period of time, but they'll get responded to. There will be occasions where we will intervene. So a good example would be Water Lane, when the pothole was that large and it was about 12 inches deep. Now the asset is to make sure something came out of the there and there, which is why the car wants to have something. That wouldn't happen on a highway like the Salt Lake, you can't really still drive around the potholes. Now we often hear that what the people say, I've driven through it 3 times. If you want to see the court, then you tell the judge, you're not a chance of getting a claim for your claim. So it's one of the things you know where it is. But the poles will need patching. There's an awful lot of roads that I will need patching as well. And as you're probably aware, the County Council does not have the highways budget it had last year. And it is underspending the highways budget, so you can't get money line and children's services. In relation to convalescent homes, I'm sure it can be care homes, or you can't be in a midway. There are conversations taking place about taking back some of the provision that the County Council effectively privatised back in house, so there are more officers employed in the County Council now, not because the overall commission and officer number has gone up because the numbers have been taken off the commission contracts and put back in house. I personally, the reason why, for example, all the nursing homes are closed, any room plus numbers, the money to do them all is not available. And thirdly, they cost too much to run compared to private enterprise. In relation to your home carers, most of us taking care of assessments and care packages. Well, I don't have any staff. So I can come back to you with an answer on how many there is, but the reality is, in terms of the direction of travel, so we look at the regional independence, it's not about giving people more staff to work with, it's about making sure people have got the right provision in place in their own homes, so they can stay in their own homes and they can look after themselves with minimal support. So in terms of that number going up, which is what you usually do, I'm aware of that.
The system to check.
Okay, well, thank you. Councillor, did I miss you out?
No, you didn't. I thought of a specific question that I've been asked by a resident of town. And that was in relation to the resident's parking scheme being activated later in the year. It was particularly about the Carter Avenue area. Now, I don't know whether you know this, but they actually voted against the scheme, and the
suggestion is that the result has come out that they're going to have it implemented over there. So there's quite a few people over there who are quite upset about that, that they were asked to vote and then the vote wasn't taken account of.
Do you want to answer that, Richard, or would you like it?
There are a number of car avenues not in the scheme. It will be a residence parking. The areas that I've gone ahead, so the decision taken on the 9th of December was not to implement the whole scheme. So there are elements of what was taken out, including Alvin Hill. Zone C is to be implemented fully. Zone A is to be implemented fully. Zone E will have no permits for the rest of the traffic order will get implemented fully, including the limited waiting bays. Zone B, the traffic order will be implemented minus limited waiting bays and minus permits. So I've got in my inbox today approximately 15 emails from residents of Zone B asking why they're not getting parking permits. The reason why they're not is because of responses and getting the support which we want. So we've got implemented in Zone B, but we didn't do. Because my concern is, or the concern of Jeff and I, particularly Zone B. The reason why the scheme was designed the way it was designed is because we know it's going to be contagion. So if you were to put, for example, permits in the colony, where you could probably argue the colony, St Andrews, Victoria Road, etc., the colony areas are the worst affected. If you were to put them just in the colony, all that happened is they'll just move into the surrounding streets. The entire scheme was designed with that in mind as well. So, even though we've not implemented the permits in Zone B, which includes the likes of Lawn Road, for example, we have put a review into the order. So in December next year, if the implementation goes ahead this summer, which the implementation should go ahead this summer, but there is a review, and now we go back to Zone B and we ask the question again, once we've seen what the reality of the situation will be once the rest of the permit schemes have been implemented. So quite a lot of feedback that I've got in the emails I've received today is that residents thought that the traffic order would be implemented in full or not implemented at all, which is unfortunately traffic orders you can implement bits. So you can take things out. What you can't is you can't have them because you've not advertised them. So the reality is I think the impact on what we're calling Zone B will be quite detrimental. Some of the emails is we've changed our mind. Now we can't just go back and say, okay, we're going to put this into it. The decision's been taken, the democratic process has been followed. So the next stage to that will be implementation of traffic order. After that will be review in December 23. That review may get put back depending on when the traffic order actually gets implemented. The decision's been taken in terms of the infrastructure. We expect summer. We'll see what the impact of the wheels on the areas that don't have parking permits.
Can I suggest, if you've got a real problem with that, could you email Councillor Scott and Councillor Drake with all the information? And I'm sure they'll get back to you.
I'd rather a phone call, would be good.
Oh, will it? Okay, I'll phone then. Thank you.
Can I just add, as a resident of Zone B, Lawn Road? Yeah. So there is a campaign. There's letters been put. Letters have been put through everybody's doors today, specifically asking people to email you. I'll email you a copy of the letter. But I think what's happened is that people have just woken up to the fact that because it's only being partly implemented, the unforeseen consequences on Zone B could be significant. Yeah. And people are waking up to that fact now. And everyone's being encouraged to email you. You specifically. It's got your email address on the bottom. It's got your email address on the bottom.
I kind of got from the top of the emails that was from a response I sent the resident a couple of days ago, because it has many points that I made to that resident, which fine.
It's a lady in Madeira Villas.
The reality is this scheme was never going to solve all the problems in and around these areas, and unfortunately it's a difficult conversation to have with residents to explain that there's far too many cars and far too little time. What it will do is it will alleviate the problem. The reality is that you can't call yourself Democrats and then we go make a decision in our own way to there is no clear support for something. We've got two consultations through one in 2019, and we did one earlier this year. The support in Zone League was non-existent, so we pulled it. The support in parts of Zone B was very weak in certain areas, so we had to contain it. If you don't have a permanent zone, it's different to any other permanent scheme. It has to be signed so you know you're entering it, and then we don't have to sign it again. Whereas if you do it the other way around, you've got to put signs all over the place. Hence why there's zones and not roads. So we were fully aware of this situation, but what we can't do is sit there and say, well, implement something you say you do not want. So there will be a period of time, in my opinion, where the residents are going to find out that perhaps parking permits were the right solution with the rest of the scheme being implemented.
Thank you, Mr. for that, and thank you for answering the question.
Councillor
Mike,
want to
set a question?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes. Last meeting, Richard, you told us that there was no support to the idea of developing pedestrian and cycle paths, possibly at the cost of reducing road area from motor traffic. So that's led me to wonder if you think it's important that children
so your question the last week was not that I think there was any support. You asked the question, was there any pedestrians or themselves in the lab? And your own question, I don't think it's really fair to ask a father or three children about to go to the
okay, thank you very much. We move on then to the last one on the agenda, besides proposing the reasons. Just a note here, I'd like to thank you all for coming tonight.